All right. Hello, Studio 108 community. I'm here with Val Troiano, and we are going to chat about human design and all other things that might inspire to come through us today because that's how we roll. Actually, we were just talking about how we roll.
Right.
We were just talking about how the two of us share certain qualities that just seem to come together and flow well together, and certain gates of our human design that complement each other. So I'd love for you to hear a little bit about that because I think it starts to unpack the concepts. And you can get your own human design reading. Val will do that for you. Maybe you know somebody else who'll do that for you. That's fine. It's really such a fascinating and fabulous paradigm through which to look at yourself. But I think a practical example like this is helpful so that people kind of know
Well, we were,
how useful it is.
yes, it's very useful. Well, we were talking about the fact that you have a full channel of 12 from the throat into the solar plexus, which is emotional intelligence. And that's a very it's a very grace-filled channel. It is about communicating heartfelt and warm and fuzzy. And it's sometimes all of the solar plexus channels all have a mood. So,
What's my mood?
yeah, those moods
Yes,
coming out.
hello.
And that I have 22, which is a north node of mine, and the nodes are very important because the nodes represent what you pay attention to in your environment. And we can talk a little bit more about that because this particular node that I'm referring to in 22 is a south node, which means that that's an influence in my environment before age 41. Something
Okay.
that I may have paid attention to and was a destined influence for
So
me.
I have to stop you. Is age 41 the kind of tipping point between south
It
node
is.
into north node?
It is.
So you guys on the astrology wheel, we enter at the south node and we head in the direction of the north node, which is like directly across
That's
the
right.
circle. So you're saying kind of like 41 is that midpoint where your focus then shifts to a different perspective of
Yes.
are you going from the south node towards the north node?
Right.
That's interesting.
And actually, that's really around midlife now. Because our age expectancy has become around 84. So we have much
Interesting.
longer of a time now to be in that maturity.
Yeah.
And
So if you think, oh, I should have my 401k all set by the time I'm 32, never mind.
oh, you're still growing up.
Yeah, you're still a bob, and just
Yeah.
there's so much that we come in with that we get to explore and manipulate and experience and carry through. But then at 41, we start heading towards our north node. So then we're developing and creating and materializing.
And the nodes are really important because the nodes, they don't create who you are as some of the other placements, like for example, your sun. You have a certain personality, energy, and who you think you are and where your focus is. But the nodes create an environment. So you can
Yeah.
often see whatever is happening in your life that you're paying attention to, and the nodes are necessary for you to develop your life purpose. And your
Interesting.
life purpose is found in your incarnation cross, which is the sun and the earth on your personality sign, and the sun and the earth in your design side. But we were just talking about the design side is your genetics. And so off, we see the design side of the sun as mother and the earth as father. And
Okay,
so,
so we were talking about like the karmic package that you
yes,
get from your parents.
yes.
And it doesn't even matter if you're a really good parent, you still give your kids a karmic package. So get over it. Just like we get karma, we give karma. This is
It's all in the working out.
Yeah, it's just all a part of our
And it's all in the working out of the evolution of humankind, mm-hmm. which the trajectory that we are at, according to human design, which I think very few people would disagree with, actually,
yeah.
is our development towards awareness, developing our consciousness, obviously, developing our understanding of our oneness.
Yeah, that's good.
And we are working on that. In Kundalini.
Yeah, in Kundalini Yoga this month, Mike and I are going through the five yoga sutras for the Aquarian Age. And the first of those five is recognize that the other person is you.
That's right.
I did a couple posts on it, so check with social media if you want to see like short explanations. You can Google, it's all, you know, pretty obvious information. And so this idea of having experiences that bring us into ourselves so deeply that we have this like embodied awareness, not that we thought about it, we learned about it, someone told us about it, and we know all is one, but we have an actual experience,
right?
Yeah, that makes us say, wow, all is one. Like there's something inside of me that's beyond me. And there's something, and I can, through that portal, can reach the portions of other people that are inside of them that are beyond them.
And human design is really cool because you can actually track that.
Yeah.
And I started off by saying, you have this whole channel of 1222. I only have half. So when we're together, it's like I get my freedom to speak. You pull it out of me energetically. That happens everywhere with every person that you're in the room with or in conversation with.
We're never without relationship.
Right. And all of us together are what makes the whole.
Yeah.
Because none of us are filled in everywhere within our energetic systems. We're all bringing something, and it is designed to work with. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look at, we've been talking about a victim, being a victim,
mm-hmm.
and such a big theme in everybody's life. It's, you know,
we had a particular experience when we went to Chicago for the retreat. We had a particular experience, and when I got back, I said about, like, oh my gosh, it was so glitchy, this, that, and the other. And she said, well,
it didn't surprise me.
And the earth is 55. And I was like, oh, that 55. Because the 55 is the victim.
Yeah, it is. It's the highest expression of 55 is abundance in faith. It's faith and trust. And the lowest expression is the victim. Now, every single gate has a victim mentality.
Okay.
But the 55 is sort of like the mother of it, because what's on the other side of being a victim? Faith.
Right, right.
That's what solves
and
being
freedom.
A victim.
Right. And freedom, right? The other side of the victim is like being free.
Right. And freedom. Faith is what sets you free.
Yeah.
And understanding, I just wrote this poem about a guy named Vic.
Vic is the victim?
Yeah, Vic is the victim. Eventually, he became a Tor.
Tor as in?
Yeah, Victor.
Oh, Victor, of course. But like, okay.
Look, it's an easy exercise to remember when you're starting to feel pity party for yourself,
yeah.
Or feel like,
actually,
you know, the world's against you.
In Kundalini Yoga, there's this little thing where you close your eyes and you press your tongue to the roof of the mouth and you whisper victory, victory, victory.
There
victory.
You go.
And it can kind of cut off the pity party,
right?
Cut off that helplessness, hopelessness, all of the things that are under the victim umbrella. Everything's perspective.
Right.
And more and more and more, we come to this time with opportunity to really choose. And in our choosing, we create.
Right.
So when you look at like what's happening in the world, like whatever is going to happen is going to be what we choose, actually.
Right.
Whatever is going to happen,
we could really get into that.
It's like whatever is going to happen is going to be what we choose. Whatever right. is going to happen is going to be what we create. Right. There isn't one soul on the planet who's meaningless.
That's
there
correct.
Isn't actually one soul on the planet who's a victim of this. Each and every one individual person gets to choose and create.
Right. Which is
victim
why.
Or victor.
Right. Which one do you want to be?
Close your eyes, put the tongue to the roof of the mouth. Victory, 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 victory.
And you can just ask yourself, am I being a Tim or a Tora?
Yeah.
You know, it's easy.
Yeah.
Because perspective is everything, and every what comforts me, what helps me to grow and stop feeling sorry for myself is that everything is opportunity. You know,
yeah.
everything is opportunity. It's either an opportunity to
get strong,
get beaten down and feel bad and complain, or it's an opportunity to look at things and say, what can I learn from this?
Yeah.
How can I grow from this?
Sometimes I think the most powerful move for me is like letting it be a bad day. Like if it's not going my way and I'm getting into that feeling sorry for myself, put on some pajamas. Grab a pint of ice cream if that's what it needs to be, or a bag of popcorn or whatever. Hit the couch and say, my victory is just being on the couch and relaxing. I must need some self-care today.
Yeah,
like
sure.
like paint the story in a way that you win rather than, you know, nothing's going my way, nobody likes me, whatever it is, my world's collapsing. And some of these things are really big, and some of the things that are happening are really big. And so
yeah.
Not to make light of it,
not at all,
but to just know that, you know, we can chip away at it.
First of all, if we're a victim, we cannot access the creativity and the genius
that needs
of our minds, of our brains.
That's going to actually solve our problem
or,
for us.
And we can't hear inspiration beyond from within from one another if we're victim. We can't.
Yeah, we can't see the
We're
solution.
Too busy.
Yeah.
We're too busy being a victim. You know, everything is energetic.
Yeah.
So if we're using our energy to feel sorry and bad for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
then we're not using our energy to be creative geniuses.
And even in the moment, like when we went to Chicago, there were a couple of times where we just kept having these blocks. Like because we were taking two cars, I was using the card to get gas in two cars. So it triggered the fraudulent thing and the cards got shut down.
Oh, jeez.
I know.
Yeah.
I had to say, oh, geez. And then I said, geez. And then like I was so in the oh, geez that my mind didn't say, call the number on the back of the card and make this
right.
happen.
Exactly.
That's it. So like my mind can only do one thing at a time. And I like wasn't able to access the solution. So then I'm like, oh, geez, try this card. Then I got in the car and I was like, oh, Dodge is card. Call the number on the back of the card. The nice lady will help you in 3 minutes. And that's all it took. And then
there
it
you
unlocks
go.
And it goes on until the next thing. But it was like that kind of a weekend. And there were a couple of times where something happened. And I was like, stuck, trying not to be OGs about it. Like trying not to show how irritated I was getting because I was trying to leave this group. And someone else in the group said, hey, Tracy, and threw an idea out. And I was like, thank you. It's like how we help each other.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
Like how we support each other.
Exactly.
And to stay out of that stuck spot, because victim really is stuck.
Victims stuck totally, or victims actually creating another problem. Because in our victim mentality, we're often afraid,
yeah,
angry,
yeah,
depressed.
Yeah.
And what are we putting out energetically into the world and into ourselves? More of the same
mm-hmm.
that's allowing us to have that perspective in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, we're affirming.
Right.
We're creating the victim situation.
Right.
We're creating
the victim is always created.
Yeah.
It really is.
So when the earth goes through these cycles, how often does that happen? When will the earth, because I talked about the victim, she said it was just those 5 days, now it's over. When's the next cycle?
Well, I want to be ready.
I want my friend's clothes, the ones with all my
The sun will be in 55 also at some point. Gosh. And so will the moon, and so will Neptune.
Well, what about my gate 55?
Your gate 55 is on the design side, which is the red column, and it is in Earth.
So that's what you were saying was like Father Karma.
Yes, because the design side comes from the magnetic monopole plus the crystal of the design in conception, which is from the Father.
So when we say like the Father side, we're talking about lineage. So most of us in America here have lineage from somewhere. Most of us are not like native to this country. And even if you are, then you would have that karmic line, which has trauma in it.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, humanity has trauma, period.
Right.
So
we're like, just working it out.
That's we're just working it out. So like no fault to my dad. It doesn't mean he was like a bad dad. It just means that there's a carrier of a belief system and a pattern of a way of doing things that gets passed down and carried forward. And the research on PTSD even is super interesting. Because they actually have taken mice and traumatized a mother mouse.
Yes.
And then her babies will respond to that trauma trigger. Is it?
Yeah.
A few generations.
Yeah. Well, the wisdom on it, not the research, but the wisdom is seven.
I thought seven generations for karma. I think it wasn't quite seven what the science said about the mouse. So maybe the mouse is a little different than people wisdom. But, you know, the fact that they're able to scientifically put forward evidence that says trauma is inherited, that you don't have to have had an experience. Like my dad couldn't have an experience of trauma, or perhaps his dad. And he's like,
and your mother too, because your mother represented as the sun on the design side.
Gotcha. So because it could come from either side, but you're saying the 55 for me in particular.
In particular, mine is the 18, and so 55 is like the mother of all of this swing. It's an individual. Channel in an individual, it's an individual gate in an individual circuit. And what does that mean? Those are individual experiences that enhance one's effectiveness when they are conquered, right? So all individual gates are about empowering the individual.
Okay.
Once the individual is empowered, then they empower other individuals.
So what happens in order to get empowered is you have to have experiences.
That's right.
And these experiences are your choice point where you could accept the empowerment of the 55 or swamp down into the victimness of the 55. Is that what you're telling
me? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. And that's basically true with all. All gates have this potential to be a victim or a victor. 55 is a loaded gate because not only is it individual, and the idea of individual gates are empowerment. So there's a really specific task there to develop faith, which is unseen. But also, the 55, it's located in the solar plexus, and the solar plexus has moons. It's up, it's down, it's happy, it's not so happy, right? But because it's an individual gate, it also has a pulse, and it's a creative pulse. And that pulse can also feel like up and down. And it's very challenging to understand and learn and this 55, the process of it. So I'm very sensitive to it. It is my Chiron wound in my design.
Got you. So we both have lived
Yes.
Three of both lives. Here's what's interesting. And Val had said, do you really want to talk about that? Because it could be personal. And it's fine. But I will tell you this personally. And I'm going to tie in the North-South node thing.
Okay.
My experience with relationships prior to 41 were experiences. Let's just say that. They were learning experiences.
Okay.
They were very, very loaded learning experiences. Yeah. And then it was 42 when I met Bill and was able to like stand in my power in a relationship and have some sense that this could be trusted and I could move forward and that this would be a functional, healthy, happy relationship. That's like really interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Like in the journey, those first 41 years were that South Node journey. That's what I came in with. This is the work to do. And 55 was like, I didn't know anything about 55. I was just like living my drama life. Okay. I was one flipped out chick all the time. And I remember buying a necklace one time. It had like a stone on it. And it was like, the stone was for emotional stability. And I said, I need emotional stability. I'm going to buy that stone.
There you go. You were stone. Yeah.
Like I could get it.
I'm going to get it.
And I would wear the necklace and I would rub the stone in my finger and think, I think I'm going to have to figure out how to be emotionally stable. I don't think the stone's going to do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But like, why
just the whole idea that you wanted that?
I knew I needed it.
And wanted it.
And I did.
Okay, so I'm going to decide that I will make a grand admission to my vulnerability. And that is that I felt so vulnerable all the time and so sensitive. I have very loaded solar plexus. And I just hated that.
Yeah.
And I felt like a little pity party for myself. And it hadn't been until I could really accept that it's just the way I am and stop seeing it as negative to be that emotional.
I would love to give that gift.
Well, I
just someone listening today.
That would be amazing.
Maybe someone who's not at that 41 kind of mark yet, who's like really struggling with those experiences like you and I have.
Mm-hmm. Yes, being emotional. It's not an easy thing because we're still not caught up in the embracing of emotions. And like even just the whole emotional maturity thing did not happen that long ago in psychology. So we're still like learning of how significant and how much it really does take to mature emotionally. It does. But
it does.
How are you going to get there? Experiences. The magnetic monopole draws experiences to you, draws people to you.
Tell me about the magnetic monopole. Is that a fixed location in my design?
It is. It's all magnetic monopole sits at gate 2, which is in the G center.
Okay.
And a lot of times when we refer to our heart. The G center is really the higher self. It has knowledge.
Okay.
It is a part of the earth. And it is holding together the personality crystal, which exists above the crown and behind the third eye area and the eyes. Is where the design crystal is.
Interesting.
Out. The magnetic monopole holds those together.
Interesting.
And actually, in 2009, this was put out there by Ra in the late 80s.
Right,
this
Ra
is what was told.
Ra channeled the human
Ra
Aru. Yeah.
Ra Aru who. And he was given all this information from a very profound experience. And he had said that this magnetic monopole, well, it had never been known, but it is in the earth. They discovered in 2009, it was discovered that such a thing does exist. It only draws to you. So it is the state, the thing that will allow you to learn what you need to learn.
Yeah.
This is how if we can see these life experiences as being in line with our purpose and in line with what we're supposed to be here to learn and to give back, then I think we're in a better position. But the magnetic monopole draws all kinds of things to you. And you know that idea of like you keep having to learn the lesson over and over and over again.
Yeah, I know
that. Just like Rich said.
I know that.
Well, that's the magnetic monopole.
Gotcha.
Giving you the opportunity to learn what you need to learn. So the victim doesn't learn it. The victim feels sorry for themselves because that's what happened to them. But the victor says, all right, what do I need to get out of this? And how am I going to overcome it? How am I going to let this color this life something beautiful instead of something ugly? And how am I going to use this to serve? And
that's the freedom.
That's right. If that's, and that is faith.
Yeah.
And that's trust. And it's surrender.
A really big commitment to personal responsibility.
Yes.
Like, I think that if I could, like, when I look back, I think of, like, all the opportunities to blame that I had to just forego.
Yeah.
I don't get to blame.
No.
I don't get to blame. I was really lucky through my really hard years, because I had so many responsibilities that I didn't have time to not function. And, like, I had to just, like, pull up the boots and keep, you know, the water out of the boat kind of thing, you know?
I will and that say that that's still a choice.
Yeah.
That's still a choice.
It's still a choice.
You made a lot of good choices. I'm going to say that.
Yeah. But it's like, it's easier to blame, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And it's easier.
It's easier to give up, isn't it?
It is. It's easier to give up. It's easier to hide. It's easier to shop or pour another glass of wine.
Yep.
It's like all of those ways, it's easier. It's really, really hard.
But you don't grow, right? And isn't that the whole concept of...
But I do feel like you don't grow, but you do, like, I really, really love my life clean and sober. Like,
yeah.
I love that my Kundalini yoga community lives that way, because then it's like there's power within that group. There's practices that help me feel good. There's practices that let me release the things that I would otherwise pour a glass of wine around.
Right.
Like 100%. But I know that through a lot of years, if I didn't have a glass of wine at the end of the day, I wouldn't have been able to manage what was going on. So, like, with so much respect for the process that people are living through, and times are definitely hard now. Definitely hard. So
they're intense for certain. There's an intensity that has never existed before.
And there's no reason to be joyful except life. You know? It's like, come live with other people who are joyful. Turn off the news. Get in here for an hour a day, just like we're here and we're doing great things and we're having inspiring conversations and we're learning and growing and supporting each other. And that makes all the difference to victims.
Well, I think that's the underlying theme of Studio 108 for me. It is, that's what I recognize.
Well, we say it's your community for joyful and vibrant living.
How do you do that? How do you live joyfully and vibrantly? You cannot have a victim perspective and live joyfully and vibrantly. So, you know, there's all these offerings, like, I have all these neck issues. I'm coming in on Sunday for the neck
workshop.
Yes, because I don't want to be a victim to my neck.
I can't run my life like these things.
And things that Leah is doing with detoxing and, you know, this conversation that we're always having about not escaping through something that's going to dull you, because that is exactly what those mindless escapes do is they dull you.
I do. And I'll say that I still do watch The Bachelor. And I said to Bill, like, somehow 2 Mondays in a row stuck by and I forgot about my American Idol. So, yeah.
Well, that's a bit of, it's satisfying. It's when it's,
but it is. It's like
chronic.
It's chronic. And it's when it's, there are no light, bright places.
Right.
You know, that's when I feel like it's hard for people. And it can be difficult to get in the front door of a place, or it can be difficult to, like, a lot of people ask about Kundalini yoga, and, you know, it can be weird the first time, but by the end of the first class, usually the sensations you get, the feelings you get,
yeah,
the experience you have is pretty convincing. And you're like, I'm going to come back and try that again. And like I said about the all is one, the recognize that the other person is you, like that whole experience is like, it was a really powerful class on Tuesday in the morning and
yeah,
in the evening, where people were walking out just like, wow, I feel like amazing. It's just amazing.
I practice Kundalini, and I have a little practice at home that I
yeah,
do
good.
When I'm not here. Mm-hmm. And the thing I think that intrigues me so much about Kundalini is it not only makes your body feel good, but it allows you to process better.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I really like about Kundalini is for years, you know, I could say honestly that I could be a victim mentality over the physical aspects of being a woman,
mm-hmm,
and the body type and all of that shame. And I had made a decision, a conscious decision, that I did not want to look at my exercise as a way of forming my body.
Interesting. Yeah, you didn't want to be a victim of society's messages about what your body should be.
Right. Like, you know, I wanted to develop a practice that was nurturing for my body, mm-hmm, and that would help my body, not make my body be something.
Yeah. Or a lot of years, I know that I used my exercise to kind of beat out the frustration of life.
Right.
Rather
yes,
than just have a compassionate relationship with myself and self-care and self-respect.
Right.
Yeah.
And yoga is a beautiful way to do that.
Yeah, it is.
Everything is all in how you're approaching it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the one thing that I have to say that I love so much about Kundalini is that we actually take care of our organs,
yeah,
and our lymph system,
the endocrine system,
and our lungs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we take care of our internal selves, and that is really honoring to the body,
yeah,
as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
And even the perspective of considering
that. 100%. That's what I was going to say. Even like the fact that it's brought up in conversation.
Yes.
That this is a good kriya for your kidneys.
Right.
That your kidneys support your heart and the electromagnetics that let your brain function well. Like all of that. Just like having that put out there.
That is healthy.
Changing the relationship you have with your body.
Yes.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, girl, you brought a poem by Rumi.
Oh, I did.
Would you share that with us?
I would love to.
I haven't heard it, you guys, so I'm excited to hear
so
it.
So I have a year with Rumi. I read him every day.
Do you?
Yes, and I have to go backwards a lot of times because I love him so much.
But there's a favorite back there you want to put back.
I have lots of favorites, but this is the one for today, May 3rd.
Really?
Yeah. And
it's a really good one.
I just think it, well,
I think I want that
problem. The problem with this book, they're all good.
Rumi,
and so I actually have to, I think I really, I'll read a Rumi poem at least 10 times.
Can you give me the date on that one? I'm going to put it in the notes. May 3rd.
Oh, this is May 3rd. Okay.
Okay.
And it's called What Was Said to the Rose. What was said to the rose that made it open was said to me here in my chest. What was told the cypress that made it strong and straight was whispered the jasmine, so it is what it is. Whatever made sugarcane sweet, whatever was said to the inhabitants of the town of Chipil in Turkestan that makes them so handsome? Whatever lets the pomegranate flower blush like a human face, that is being said to me now. I blush. Whatever put eloquence in language, that's happening here. The great warehouse doors open, and I fill with gratitude. Chewing a piece of sugar cane, in love with the one to whom ever that belongs. Oh, I love Rumi.
I love that.
It's beautiful.
Read the first line again about the rose.
What was said to the rose that made it open was said to me here in my chest.
Heart opening. That's beautiful.
Yes. It's all about love.
All about love.
All about love.
Life is all about love.
And
mastering your victim to be a victor is all about love.
And surrender. Let's not forget surrender.
And surrender. And being one with all. It's all about love.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems so easy. And then you go out every day and try to remember it.
I love it. Okay, you guys, go with many blessings. Remember who you are. Thank you for following. Please click like, subscribe, share, comment.
And come in.
And come in and practice with us.
Namaste.